I struggled well into adulthood and still struggle with now, profound loneliness. And I think that what my experiences have taught me and why I do the work that I do, I feel like I exist for the lonely, because loneliness is like this catalyst for not feeling like we belong in certain friend groups, in our family, like we're not good enough, like no one wants to be around me. Why don't I have friends or family or this thing or that thing? That loneliness. And it keeps us hidden and keeps us fearful and afraid. I feel like I exist because I know that so well, that emotion, that experience so well.
Tasha Hunter is a licensed clinical social worker, an author of her book, What Children Remember, and a host of her podcast called When We Speak. She's worked through her traumas to bring her best and most empathetic self into her practice, Heart First. Welcome to The Safe Haven. I'm your host, Amanda Lytle. The Safe Haven offers a collection of conversations about life's challenges and the pivots we make in order to keep moving forward. Tasha's deep connection to God is something that keeps her grounded. Her personal experiences have informed her practice and have helped shape the way that she shows up for her clients, sitting with them in their pain and helping them feel less alone. Tasha has done some deep healing. She's worked through her childhood parental abandonment, physical abuse, and sexual abuse, and calls on her inner knowing and her God to help bring this strength into the guiding role that she takes on as a therapist. The therapist that'll sit right there with you. Before we jump in today, I would like to make you aware that some of the things that we talk about today are reflections from traumas in Tasha's past. We start the conversation today as I've asked Tasha what one of the biggest life pivots for her was.
When I realized that God is for me, that God's love is not based off of a behavior chart, as I was previously taught. God's love surpasses all the behavior charts that the American church tries to teach us and tries to instill in us.
Mm-hmm. Where did that lesson come from? That sounds massive. Where did that lesson or that experience or shift in belief come from?
For me, it came from just my own personal rebellious nature. Mm-hmm. And a really serious journey, long journey of learning how to love myself and what love means, and just trying to figure out that love, that God's love is not, it's nothing like human love, and it doesn't ghost us. It's a love that doesn't give up, that doesn't give us, you know, that doesn't say, well, you've got one more chance and this is it, or I'm too busy for this relationship. God's love is there no matter what. Mm-hmm. And when I realized that God is for me, with me, no matter what, and I'm not a good Christian. I am a bad Christian by every definition. I ain't that good of a Christian, okay, Amanda? So I'm not going to get all into the Bible. I'm not a Bible scholar. I just know that God loves me and that keeps me going.
Mm-hmm. Where has God or how has God shown up for you when you needed it most?
It's been literally in the moments when I said, when I was able to admit my independent and rebellious nature, when I'm able to admit I cannot do this by myself. God, please open a door, a window, something, show me the way. And God did. God sent a person, the universe sent a person, always a human, human touch, human interaction, a phone call, a text, something, an opportunity. There was always, okay, I got you, girl. I got you. Here's what's next. Mm-hmm. And that keeps me going for a while. And then I get stuck again. And I'm like, okay, I'm super independent. I don't like asking for help. Even if I'm asking from God, but I need help. And I do imagine God as a Black woman. Mm-hmm. So she's like, okay, I got you. Here's what's next.
Yes. Yeah. And then how do you bring that into the work that you do now?
Serious. Leaning in to the next thing, feeling my own intuitive nature, feeling my ancestors, feeling God, that beautiful Black woman, Black spirit guiding me in every decision, in how I am able to help my clients, in what I write and what I want to speak about, my passions, my pleasures, all of that. Literally leaning in. That's how I feel it.
Mm-hmm. And do you find that there's a sense of vulnerability? Have you always been, when you're leaning in, a sense of vulnerability comes with that, right? And transparency. Has that always been easy for you to sit in or to lead with?
No, because I didn't trust my voice for a really long time. I'm 41 years old. I literally just started this journey of listening in, listening to my voice, listening for what's the next best thing or the next right thing for me, because I didn't trust my voice. I didn't even really know that I had a voice for a number of years. So I didn't have vulnerability because I didn't have trust in myself. I didn't believe anything really good about myself. So yeah, that came really late in life.
Mm-hmm.
You're meeting the new the new Tasha.
Yes. And I guess I've really only known the new Tasha. So this is beautiful. Tasha, what does vulnerability mean to you?
Vulnerability means for me that it's important that when I'm being vulnerable, I am literally showing you my scars in every way, even if I'm afraid, even if I think you're going to judge me, even if I think you won't understand. Maybe we grew up in different environments and I think, oh, there's no way you'll get this. I'm going to show you my scars and I'm going to say, this is who I am. And maybe if I show you, this is exactly who I am, you'll meet me at that vulnerable place and you'll do the same.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that gave me goosebumps because I feel that to my core. I believe that showing someone, when I feel like the word authenticity or being authentic has been really thrown around more. It's kind of like that trendy thing. But when you look at the root of what authenticity means in life, in love, and in your work, it's so necessary for all beings to be healthy and loved and looked after.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this music artist, but her name is Erykah Badu. She has this song called Bag Lady.
Hmm.
And so when I think about vulnerability, Amanda, I think about, I'm going to show you my bag. I'm going to show you my trauma and say, look, I've been through some stuff. And because I've been through some stuff, sometimes I'm scared. Sometimes I'm a little bit awkward around people. I've got some social anxiety, got some trust issues. I'm an independent woman. I can sometimes be outspoken, demanding, all of those things. I'm driven, but I don't know it all. And I'm not afraid in my vulnerability to tell you, I don't have all the answers. And sometimes life freaks me out and I get overwhelmed. That's me being vulnerable. And can you meet me at that point without bypassing it, you know, without making me feel like I just made a mistake by showing you my bags or my vulnerability?
Right. And that's where that judgment comes in. And I totally believe the more that I learn in my own life, is that judgment from others comes from a place of unknowing and fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, if you are able to pick a person, right? Or pick a person or a group of people to show your most authentic self and to show your overwhelm and to show your anxieties and your scars and your traumas. Yeah, there is such a collective wound, I think, that people just don't know how to really show up for other people that are exposing their truest self.
Yeah. And I find that, and I'm sure you've probably heard this a time or two, but it's true that when we are able to show our true selves, it gives other people permission to do the same. And I was just having this conversation with Andrea of Her Story Speaks podcast. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, I said, I don't even trust people unless they show me their scars. So at this point in my life, I'm not even having conversations with people. Friendship is off the table unless I know that you've got some baggage too.
Yeah.
That's just where I'm at. If you're hiding your bags, we can't even talk.
No, I feel that. I feel that. And my face hurts from smiling already because I have had some huge awakenings and some huge lessons recently, some tough conversations, and understanding that it's okay to outgrow friendships and relationships.
Yes, it's necessary.
Yeah, it's so necessary to guard yourself and your heart and also to make space for those other people that really deserve your love.
Yeah, absolutely. I have been hurt so many times by people that were my friends. I thought they were my friends, but I've always been, sometimes if you look at that kid that's in school that just wants everybody to be their friend, that's been me, except it wasn't just in school, it was in adulthood, just welcoming in everybody. And as a result of that, I welcomed in some people that did not deserve to even be in my presence. They didn't earn the right. They didn't earn my trust. They didn't earn anything that I provided in that relationship. But it took a long time for me to realize that if I am going to have really awesome relationships, true, real relationships with people, I've got to be willing to end these fake relationships. Mm-hmm. And say goodbye, wipe my tears. Yeah, they hurt me. Yeah, they said some things or did some things or were dishonorable or whatever the case was. I don't know. Dishonorable is a strong word. I don't, you know, but but when you let that go, then what happens is you usher in this space in which real people come in. And so right now I am literally living for the first time in my life in this space where I have real people. Mm-hmm. And it feels so good and so safe, which is what I've always needed.
Mm-hmm. That's a perfect segue into something I was keen on asking you about, how the transition into social media has changed the connections that you've made. Because I feel like you've made some very beautiful, significant relationships via social media. Can you elaborate a bit on that?
I have. So I've entered every social media platform, whether it's Facebook, then Twitter, Instagram. I'm not on Snap. My daughter just downloaded TikTok. I've entered social media late and always with some, I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. So Amanda, I get on Instagram and I'm like, well, I'm just going to use it for my private practice. I'm just going to use it for my book. I'm just going to use it a little bit for my podcast. And what's happened from that is not just that I'm able to share about these things, but when we talk about relationships, I've met amazing women through social media. Who would have thought? Mm-hmm. Somebody that was so against it, so old fashioned, like, no, you meet people face to face. You don't, social media is not for that. But I've met Andrea of Her Story Speaks, Marcy Alvis Walker, mm-hmm. with Black Coffee with White Friends, mm-hmm. and then Letty Shoemate, right? And others who have read my book and who stay in touch with me. And again, they're real relationships. Literally, probably within the past month, Shea Bearfield, I was just on her, she asked me to do a live. I've met her and she was like, Tasha, we're going to be great friends. We're going to be best friends, right? And so we now talk very often. And I think there had to have been for me, what I noticed is before that relationship happened, there was a willingness. There was me leaning in, mm-hmm. and saying, I am open, universe. I'm open, God. Mm-hmm. Whoever and whatever you send me, that's good for me. And because I had this openness, I get people in my IG, you know, messages that's like, hey, I want to connect with you. I want to collaborate with you. I want to get to know you. And then the relationship forms, mm-hmm. in such a beautiful and organic way.
Mm-hmm. For so long, I feel like it's been seen as a curse. But if you're able to pinpoint those blessings, oh my gosh, they are endless.
Mm-hmm. They are. I wouldn't have imagined that social media would be this place in which we really are building relationships with one another. And so I love somebody, you know, again, just over the past month, three or four people contacting me and saying, hey, I want to connect with you a little bit further. Beautiful, because I'm all about connection. Mm-hmm. That's number one in terms of if we were going to do like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, that's number one for me is connection, relationship. And so I need that, like I need oxygen, like I need my heart to beat. I need connection with people. And I've been able to have that throughout the pandemic, meeting people that don't live close to me, but yet we're connected.
I understand that to my core, because my personal preference for this podcast, when I started it almost 2 years ago, my preference was to be in person with these people. And what the biggest blessing has been with the podcast in relation to the pandemic has been that my guest list has now gone worldwide, and that now social media has been my primary way of networking and finding new guests and doing a little bit of research and like, what does this person stand for? What do they value? What's the work that they're doing? Are they heart driven? You know? So connection. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Heart driven.
That part. Heart driven.
Yes.
That's it. No other ulterior motives, not trying to see what you can get or how you can benefit. Are you heart-driven? That is what I search for to my core. You're talking my love language. Go ahead, Amanda.
No, I'm the same. And this is where I, like, honestly, conversations like this just fill me back up. My podcast has become a form of self-care because I get to connect with people in a really genuine way. And this social media and just the fact that we're hours away on a plane, you know, and that we can sit like this and connect and actually see each other's faces. And it's been a saving grace for me, for sure.
Yeah, for me as well. I couldn't have imagined it. And I'm just so blessed by technology. Mm-hmm. And so,
speaking of technology, I would love for you to tell my listeners and I all about your podcast and how that started, where it came from, because it certainly takes, some real motivation and some sowing seeds to start a podcast. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So I wrote my book, my memoir. It was released last year, What Children Remember. And I was dealing with some imposter syndrome and I didn't even want anyone to know that I had written a book. And so I wasn't really sharing anything about my book. And then a couple of people said to me, you need to start marketing your book. You need to start talking about your book. You didn't write this big thing, write your story for it to just be there. People need to know about it. And so somebody just said, get on some podcasts. So then I was getting on a bunch of podcasts talking about my book because that's what they told me to do. And I follow directions well. And so I have this rule, Amanda, if two people who don't know each other, aren't affiliated in any way, tell me something, I listen and I follow if it feels right for me. So two people say it, you're going on everybody else's podcast. Why don't you start a podcast of your own? You should talk about your book on your podcast. And I said, okay. So then I did. Mm-hmm. And it was such a wonderful experience. My first ever interview was on Suicide Pages with Dr. Lulu, where I talked about my history of attempting suicide and surviving that attempt. And it was just such a beautiful experience that I wanted that experience for other people. And I wanted people to come on and share about their own journey, whatever survival and overcoming look like for them. And to talk about all the things that sometimes we're ashamed to talk about because of that fear of judgment. And because we're living with shame, we're also living with a lot of secrecy. And so for my podcast, a lot of the theme of my podcast is, without overstating it, I'm going to talk a lot about sex, and I'm going to talk a lot about pleasure, and I'm going to talk a lot about faith and anything dealing with like the body and just sexuality and healing trauma, all forms of trauma, the little T's, the big T's of trauma, whatever that looks like, because all of those things are things that you're not supposed to talk about it. And well, what if I talk about my faith, but somebody else gets offended? No, we're talking about it on my podcast. Mm-hmm. We're talking about all the things. And so I wanted that space to be a safe place. And it is. Mm-hmm. And I love it. And it's called When We Speak. And it came out earlier this March the 1st.
Yeah, so it hasn't been long.
It's a baby. Yeah, it's a baby.
Congratulations on that. Like I said, pre-recording is, oh my God, I'm almost speechless when I think about how much love I have for this podcast and what it's becoming and what it's been through and the steps that it's been taking. And I like to think that you're just getting into something that will very quickly become an obsession. It's not just a passion project. And you made a really beautiful point about connections and the fact that people will reach out just to connect further. Because what I understand about so many conversations that happen on podcasts is that even though there's so much of the overall story that people cannot relate to, even if they can pick up one thing from it, one thing, then they feel alone, or it's like relatable content.
That is absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also use podcast therapeutically. So for my clients that I work with, I specialize in childhood trauma. And so for my clients, I'll often say, I want you to go, this person is sharing a story that's similar to yours, or I think there may be some benefit. I want you to listen to Safe Haven, because Amanda's got a guest on that's dealing with, maybe they're dealing with church trauma, maybe they're dealing with their own journey of anti-racism or how racism has impacted them, or they're dealing with, you know, whatever their thing is, right? Whether it's grief or whatever. And so listen to Safe Haven, for instance, episode whatever, and hear this journey that this person is discussing. And so for my podcast, I'm probably going to do a little bit of the same and use it in that way, because so often, even in my work, my clients feel like they're the only ones going through this particular pain. And that's what trauma and adversity does. It isolates us. But if you can listen to the beauty of podcasts, you can listen to this person's story. And you not only hear their story, but you listen to how they overcame it. Mm-hmm. Did they go to therapy? Did they journal? Did they do yoga? What was their thing that got them through those really hard situations in life?
That's it. And you might feel like you've already tried it all. And then that person says one thing that you're like, oh, I've actually never tried that. And then that might be, you know, the next step you need to take.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, Tasha, this is amazing. Thank you so much for being with me. I'm loving this. I have a question about the work that you're doing now. And how have your life experiences and traumas in your life informed your practice, like your daily work that you're doing? Can you tell us a bit about that?
Amanda, I have so much to say on this. So growing up, I experienced childhood parental abandonment, physical abuse, and sexual abuse. And what that created are two things. One, I grew up feeling like I did not belong in the world. All right. I shouldn't be here. And two, I struggled well into adulthood and still struggle with now profound loneliness. And I think that what my experiences have taught me and why I do the work that I do, I feel like I exist for the lonely, because loneliness is like this catalyst for not feeling like we belong in certain friend groups, in our family, like we're not good enough, like no one wants to be around me. Why don't I have friends or family or this thing or that thing? That loneliness. And it keeps us hidden and keeps us fearful and afraid. I feel like I exist because I know that so well, that emotion, that experience so well. Mm-hmm. And so when I am thinking about my own experiences of growing up in a family in which I was not wanted, I was not loved, my clients, even without knowing my story, and many of them do because I've written a book and I got a podcast mm-hmm. and I'm, you know, doing all these things, yeah. They can look at me and they know I get it. Mm-hmm. And if nothing else, here's what I offer all of my clients who say to me, I can't trust anybody. Sometimes they say nobody understands, or I don't, you know, sometimes they'll say, I don't share what I'm going through because I don't want to bother anyone. I don't want anybody to worry about me, but yet they're so lonely in what they're experiencing. And I say to them, okay, talk to me about that part of you that's lonely. Like, where does that, give me some history. Well, guess what? Now you have a therapist literally sitting beside you, literally holding space for you, and you never have to be lonely and deal with things on your own again. And every time I say it, they're like, oh, I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. I'm right here. Me holding space for you, this is not just my job. It's my purpose in life. And I do it. It is an honor to sit beside you, to sit with you in your pain and whatever you're going through. You never have to do it alone. And while I'm sitting with you, what if I can teach you some ways to navigate life a little bit differently mm-hmm. and less alone. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, it does. It actually put a lump in my throat because I was just thinking about how I had written down earlier empathy and just how your experiences have equipped you with the empathy to do the work that you do. And knowing that you do the work that you do with the love that you have, because that's the kind of person, like, we need people cut from that cloth in the work that you're doing.
Yeah. You know, and the work that I'm doing and what I provide is everything that I've always needed. Mm-hmm. So sitting with, I am right with you in your pain. You do not have to go through this alone. You need more than one appointment a week. I got you. Call me. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that. I didn't have a person to call. I went through all of my stuff by myself. And then having that relationship, if they have no other relationship, well, they've got a therapist. And then can I hook you up with some other resources? Maybe that resource is a 12-step program. Maybe that's a relationship with your family doctor, a psychiatrist. Maybe that is a Reiki practitioner, mm-hmm. a yogi, but building other relationships to support you. And then teaching them how to have empathy and love for themselves. That's a life. That's such a big notion, a big word. how do I love myself? Mm-hmm. We're going to start very small, mm-hmm. very small. Okay. And just teaching them how to do that. I learned how to love because I had every example known for this is what love isn't. I knew very well how to love. I just did the opposite because I was not loved well in my life. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that. Now I know exactly how to give love to other people. And that includes my clients and teaching them how to love themselves mm-hmm. and how to also open their hearts to receiving love from other people. Because with trauma, people kind of reject that. So,
oh, I could listen to you talk about that forever, Tasha. It makes me wonder, what has the work that you are doing now helped you heal personally the most?
It helped me to own my story. Mm-hmm. It helped me to just come face to face with my own truth and to say, this thing happened. It hurt. It wasn't fair. I didn't deserve it. Mm-hmm. And that was big. It was just owning my story. And then I guess my own experiences is there's two ways that I deal with silence. One, I learned how to silence the voice of people who literally meant me no good in my life. So when I'm thinking that I'm not good enough or that I don't belong in the world, Amanda, I realized that that's not even my voice. That's the voice of my abuser mm-hmm. that said to me, I should have aborted you. I never wanted you. That's not me. I love myself. Mm-hmm. So let me silence that. That's not God. That's not me. So I'm going to silence all of that. People who have been super critical and did not understand or didn't believe my story when I said, hey, these are the things that happened. I was abused or whatever. People that said that I wasn't worthy, that I wasn't smart. I silence all of that. Mm-hmm. And then when I get this inkling to show up small in the world and in my work, and I want to hide and I want to go away and I start believing that I don't, you know, that maybe I shouldn't speak about things, or maybe I don't need that podcast. I need to quit writing. No. Let me speak.
Yes.
Let me not do that. And so, and knowing just when to speak up. So I speak up often just to tell my younger Tasha, little Tasha, that was so fearful and afraid at 12 years old. And that was so lonely at 10 years old. And to say, girl, your voice matters. You are profoundly loved, and the work that you do, it matters. So every time I speak up, I am literally healing younger Tasha, because she didn't have a voice. Now I've got one, so I'm going to use it.
Mm-hmm. What are some personal practices that you have to bring your best self into the office?
Well, every morning, whether I got enough sleep, which I typically don't, or if I'm having a bad morning, it does not matter. I turn on Spotify mm-hmm. and I dance.
Yes.
I just move my body, do a little bit of twerking.
Yes.
And I just dance, and I have a playlist called Move with an array of artists that just help me to move my body. Mm-hmm. That's it. That could be Janet Jackson. That could be Outkast. That could be Beyonce, whoever it is, Lizzo, you name it, Michael Jackson, I'm going to dance. And that helps me to prepare. Sometimes after the dancing, to prepare for my day, because I deal with some heavy stuff mm-hmm. with my client, silence is super important for me. Silence is super important. So I might take 20 or 30 minutes where I'm just listening for God. And I'm just saying, God, I cannot do this without you. I literally cannot guide my words, even my energy. I want to bring the right energy to each session. Help me with that. Help me to just plant a seed in everybody I talk to today, something that's going to help them in their life and whatever they're going through in their circumstances. Mm-hmm. I love to laugh. So that's incorporated into my everyday just through conversation. I want to say something crazy. I have a foul mouth. So...
Mine comes out too.
Yes. So every day with somebody that I'm talking to, there will be laughter. I was talking to Letty a few minutes before we got on here, and she told me to download Marco Polo. And then I'm just looking at myself in my phone and I'm like, man, I look cute today. And then I just busted out laughing.
I so love it.
It's really simple for me. Yeah, that's kind of what I do.
Oh, so good. When do you feel most like yourself?
Oh, these days, I feel most like myself. Really, honestly, every day. It's not even a moment. It's every day, because now I'm in this space in my life where I am more myself than I have ever been. For the first time in my life, I am not worried about the opinions of others, how people will see me, what they're going to think about me. Mm-hmm. I love my body. I love my work. I love my personality. I love my purpose, who I am. I am just functioning. When we think about being the highest version of ourselves, I feel like that's where I'm at. And so all of the things that I have been through, I just feel like God is literally like, Tasha, I know you've been through a lot, but can you just feel my love? Mm-hmm. With no pressure to change anything, be yourself every day, authentic, no matter what. So I bring my full self. I'm not competing with anybody. I'm not comparing myself to anybody. I am an out of the box therapist. So people that come to see me, I'm not going to be like their last therapist or anything. I'm just Tasha. So I feel like I'm that way every day. And I rest better functioning in that, with that energy, with that authentic energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Knowing that you showed up as your authentic self always.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have my safe haven style questions for you. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
What are you most proud of?
That I chose healing, that I looked my trauma in the face and said, yeah, I know that there's trauma, but it's not going to define me. I instead allowed that trauma, that pain, to have a front row seat and to observe me loving myself and healing myself. And now literally everything that I learn, every time I'm healed from something, what I'm also doing, Amanda, is I am bringing other people with me and saying, I healed from this. Let me help you to do it now as well. I'm bringing others. Mm-hmm. I am so proud of that.
Mm-hmm. What would you like to be known for?
When people think about me, I want them to kind of say that she left it all here. She didn't take any of her gifts with her. She didn't hide anything. She left every bit of it here on this earth for our consumption, for our benefit. That's why I exist. It's not just important that I reach my goals, my purpose, my vision for my life, but I want to bring so many people all over the world with me to say you can be healed as well. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. what I want people to understand and to say about me.
Mm-hmm. And if you had a message for everyone listening, what would it be?
Oh, it's always, you can go through really excruciating, horrific circumstances. You can have these experiences in your life in which you feel like, I literally cannot make it. How am I going to survive this? These insurmountable circumstances, you can go through this stuff and you can still, if you're willing, have love, have hope, have purpose, have joy. None of those things, none of those traumatic experiences will determine like where you go in your life in terms of, you know, love and joy and all of that. You can still have that if you're willing to be open to it and lean into God kind of leading you there, the universe leading you there.
Hmm.
Yeah.
My heart is so, so full right now, Tasha. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. I feel so honored to be here.
I feel the same. I want to make sure that we grab your social. So where can people find you online?
So I really live, you know, I live on Instagram. I love Instagram. And so I'm at Tasha Hunter, LCSW.
Amazing. And I'll make sure to have that in the show notes. Tasha, this has meant so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love the work that you're doing. Like, you have my full support in everything you're doing.
Thank you, Amanda. That means a lot. Thank you.
Oh, Tasha, your giggle throughout our chats before and after the recording and having spoken since just light me up. Thank you for your vulnerability today. Thank you for sharing. I really appreciate you, and I love watching your work just unfold the way that it does so beautifully on your Instagram platform. Oh, I wish I could come and sit on your couch with you. To everyone listening, I recognize the privilege that comes with my platform, and I am committed to creating a safe, brave, and inclusive space with intention. If this episode has hit you right in the heart or inspired you in any way, please screenshot the screen while you're listening, send it to your friends, and share it in your Instagram stories. Please be sure to tag us at the Safe Haven Podcast so we can personally thank you for it. If you're able to write a review or leave a juicy 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, that really helps this podcast grow. For more great podcasts, check out frequencypodcastnetwork.com, and I will talk to you next week.